Amen. The text which engages us today is our gospel reading from John chapter 1, where John the Baptizer says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus? Did you ever wish that Jesus could be just a little bit more? I guess it's a strange question to ask. I almost feel guilty asking it. But if we're getting real about real lives, in truth, it's a question we ask ourselves, if we admit it from time to time. I'm going to tell you a true story. This is a story that happened as told by one of my seminary professors, Reverend Todd Jones. See, a number of years ago, when he was out in the parish, a young man came into the pastor's office, and we'll call him Paul for the sake of anonymity. And Paul wasn't a member of the church. His sister was. And he had met the pastor at a birthday party at his sister's house. Well, Paul showed up that day in the pastor's office, and he wanted to continue a conversation with the pastor. And he relayed to the pastor some things that he hadn't said before. And the pastor was glad. He thought, okay, I've got a chance to talk to this young man, see where he is on his spiritual journey, maybe share the gospel with him. This will be a good thing. And they started talking. And Paul said to him, he shared with him that he suffered from an addiction. An addiction that he had had since he was 14 years old. And it was a drug addiction. Because of this, he had been in jail. And in fact, he had just been released a few weeks before this birthday party where he had met the pastor. And since he had been released, he had started using drugs again. And he felt totally hopeless and totally helpless to this addiction. Oh, Paul had given his life to the Lord before. This was in the South. And he had said that sinner's prayer. Maybe you've heard that. He had said that sinner's prayer so many times he could rehearse it by heart. He could recite it by heart. And he had dedicated himself to the Lord many times. He had been baptized and rebaptized and rebaptized. He had committed himself to the Lord and recommitted himself to the Lord many times. But he just wanted to know, couldn't Jesus just remove this addiction from me? I've tried so hard to please him. You see, what Paul was saying was, I just want Jesus to be a little bit more. So the pastor took Paul to Romans chapter 6 and said, you know, you're baptized. And in your baptism, you're made a new creation. You're reborn, given the Holy Spirit, forgiven. And the pastor continued with Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, Paul talked about his struggles with sin. Paul says, the Saint Paul says, the good that I would do, I do not do. And the evil that I would not do, I find myself doing. And then how does Paul conclude this in Romans chapter 7? He says, what a poor, miserable wretch am I. Struggling with his own sin. And then the pastor concluded with Romans 8 verse 1. In fact, the pastor wanted Paul to remember it. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper and gave it to him. Romans 8 verse 1. For there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul, you are a new creation in Christ, the pastor said. Your struggle is real. And it takes hard work and struggle and energy. And God has given you His Spirit. And He's given you a community of faith and family to help you through it. A community that will love you and support you and be with you all the way through the process. And the pastor felt that he had sealed the deal. You just won a victory for Christ. But Paul sat there pondering, thinking about what the pastor said. Pondering. Then he looked up at the pastor and he said, Pastor, I appreciate everything that you said. And in it, it's something to think about. But can't Jesus take this addiction away from me? You see, the truth is, I'm only here today because your office was on the way to my drug dealer. And, Pastor, I'd like to tell you that when I leave here, I'm going to go out and turn right and go home. But in reality, I know I'm going to go out and turn left. And find some reason to drive into that neighborhood over there and to that house that I know and to start this conversation with this guy I know, and I know I'm going to leave there with some drugs and I'm going to get high today. Because I'm a slave. I can't do any differently. And the pastor pleaded with him, let me drive you home. Let me take you somewhere where there's your family or other people so you're not alone. But he refused. So they prayed together and they cried together and Paul left. You see, Paul wanted Jesus to be just a little bit more. Maybe you heard something like that in our gospel reading today. Did you detect the discrepancy between what John the Baptizer said about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And what Andrew said to Simon Peter. We have found the Messiah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God never appears in the Old Testament. We see it for the first time in John. We see it again in Revelation. The Lamb of God. You and I are familiar with it. We know who that is. That's Jesus. That is the Messiah. That is the Son of God, as we heard in later in the text. That is the King of Kings. We know all that. Look at that carving that we have of the Son of God. What is it? A lamb. The victorious lamb from Revelation. The Lamb of God. That's familiar to you and me, but for Andrew, and for Simon Peter, and for anyone else in the first century, they had a much different conception of the Messiah. You see, the Messiah was going to be this guy who was going to come and conquer the Romans. What was the problem? The Romans. They were the problem in their lives. The Romans who had conquered them. The Romans who took over. The Romans who took taxes. Who told you where you could go and where you couldn't go. Who, from time to time, defiled the temple. Killed a bunch of people. Problem is the Romans. And our Messiah is going to take care of that. Our Messiah is going to come and conquer and get rid of those dirty, rotten guys. And he's going to usher in this new world where there's no hunger and there's no thirst. There's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no sorrow. There's no grief. That's what our Messiah is going to do. To a first century Jew like Andrew or Simon Peter, the Lamb of God, well, what do we use lambs for? They're sacrificed. They go to their death. So how is this Jesus, the Lamb of God, and the Messiah? Where's the... You see the disconnect? When they say, we have found the Messiah... Andrew and Peter, we want a Messiah that's a little bit more than this Lamb of God stuff, the sacrifice stuff. The forgiveness of sins, yeah, okay, that's fine. But what about my problem? My problem is the Romans. Well, they thought that was their problem. What's your problem? Today, we think our problem is maybe we put on too much weight. Or maybe we have trouble raising our kids. Or we don't have enough money. Or maybe if you're a kid in school, or maybe just anybody else. You think, my problem is I'm not likable enough. Not enough people like me. And so we want our Jesus to be just a little bit more to solve that problem that we have today. We want him to be our guru who tells us how to fix it. Or we want him to fix it for ourselves. So here's the question. Why does John the Baptizer begin by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? Because that's the problem. That is the problem. It's called sin. It's the one thing, the one issue that distinguishes us. Good from bad. Successful from failure. Hope from misery. It is sin that separates us from our God, our Creator. And it's sin that, by the way, isolates us from each other. That's the root problem. And it's sin that robs us from that peace that passes on all understanding, all human understanding, that we're supposed to have. So John declares the Lamb of God, so that we know that through faith we are forgiven of our sins. Through Christ we have God's mercy. And with that comes life and hope. Listen to King David's words from Psalm 31. As he describes a life in sin, he says, "For my life is spent in sorrow. My strength fails with iniquity. My bones waste away." Sin is the problem, spiritually and physically. That's where it starts. And as you hear those words from King David, think about Paul and our story, who came into the pastor's office. He just wanted Jesus to be a little bit more. His problem was that he couldn't see the problem of sin. His drug addiction was a problem, and that needed to be dealt with. It's true. It needed to be worked through, and it wasn't going to be easy. But the problem begins with our understanding of God and of what sin is and what its consequences are. Paul couldn't see, and he couldn't accept, that his big problem wasn't just his addiction, but sin. And he couldn't deal with sin. None of us can. And he didn't think that he could fix his relationship with his father until he dealt with his addiction. And because he felt he couldn't deal with his addiction, he felt guilty. And to assuage that guilt, he took drugs to escape from it. And then, because he took the drugs, he realized his addiction again, which was ruining his relationship with his father. So he felt even more guilty. So he took more drugs. Do you see the cycle? It's a common cycle. It's called a cycle of sin. It's called a cycle of addiction. And you can't break out of it if you're addicted. That's why it's called addiction. We all are addicted to sin in one way or another, whether we admit it or not. And the enemy, Satan, deceives us by telling us, that's not the problem. Your sin isn't the problem. This is your problem. Your addiction. Or your problem with money, or the lack of it. Or the problem with not being likable enough, or too much weight, or whatever you think the problem is. But it ain't sin. I don't want you to think about that. That's the problem. So John reminds us that that's the problem, sin. And thanks be to God that there's a solution in the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world on the cross. Now, I'd love to tell you that this true story of Paul had a happily ever after ending. Well, it didn't, at least not in this life. A few weeks after the pastor's conversation with Paul, the pastor got a call from Paul's sister. She told him that Paul had been found dead in a hotel room from a drug overdose. And the pastor felt guilty, tremendously guilty. What could I have said differently? What more should I have said? What could I have done differently? Should I have not let him leave my office at all? And the pastor ran through the conversation over and over in his mind. He never knew what happened between Paul and the Lord in the last few hours of Paul's life. But when he met with the family, Paul's sister said that they had found in Paul's pocket a scrap of paper that had Romans 8:1 written on it. And she said, "Pastor, can you help us understand this?" And she showed him the paper. It was worn. The pastor shared with the family a bit about his conversation with Paul. They were all feeling very guilty, as it happens with a death in your family like that. The pastor, Paul's sister, Paul's whole family. They all felt as if they had failed Paul in some way. And they needed to behold the mercy of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as they read Romans 8:1 on that little scrap of paper, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In that moment, that pastor and Paul's sister and Paul's family beheld the mercy of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as many hundreds of people came to Paul's funeral, many of whom also had their problems in the drug culture, or lived in the drug world, or had contacts with those who were there, they didn't come to the funeral needing to hear that everything was all okay with Paul. No, he was dead. It was not all okay. They didn't need to hear that Paul went to heaven and got wings. They needed to hear the message about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That yes, the consequence of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're struggling with an addiction, if you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling with the guilt of a particular sin in your life, listen. That's not the problem that's in front of you. The problem is sin. So hold fast to the promise of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hold fast to that promise. And as you receive the body and blood of your Lord today, of the Lamb of God, broken and shed for you, know that your sins are taken away by Him. And as you go about your daily life, and you run into people who think, this is my problem, why doesn't God just take it away? Help them to understand that the problem is sin. And help them to understand that there is a God who loves them. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Help them to see Him. For the Lamb of God has taken away your sin and the sin of the whole world. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand.